while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So here we are. It's the fourth of our four sermon series. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Is enough enough? Is Eileen. Through the series, right through, we've been, the point of the series is to challenge the paradigms to which we very easily hold. Paradigms, the ways of thinking that we habitually hold. We have a particular way of thinking and that's it. In the first week, through the sermon series, we looked at what God said, where we held before us the promises of God, the surefire promises of God. In week two, it was the focus was on who we are and whose we are. And we affirmed our identity in God. Last week was focusing on our prized possessions, coming into the recognition that if our most important possession, if our most prized possession is material wealth, then we're actually living in poverty. If all you have, if the most you have is your money and the stuff that will decay and rot, then you are living in poverty. Today the focus is on what we do. And the synopsis that Pastor Manuela read earlier on, talks about how we know that God calls us to focus our minds, to rely on the finished work of Christ. And not to rely on our own efforts where it concerns righteousness. And if this is the case, if we're relying on God, and truly the grace of God sets us right in his presence, and if truly we're not saved by works, then what do we need? What else do we need for what we do to be enough? Yeah. So fundamentally, when we look at the text and the theme, what we do, we can conclude that what we do is and should be by God's grace. What we do is by God's grace. What we do should be by God's grace. It came up on screen earlier on in 1972. That's 51 years ago. A man wrote this song, Bill Withers, Lean on Me. How many people know the song? The words are on screen. You know it? Lean on me when you're not strong. You know, remember it? Yeah. Ooh, it's taking some people back, right? It says, I'll help you carry on. Remember it? For it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lead. Woo! All right. How many people sing Bill Withers in the middle of a sermon? Some people are thinking, oh, I need to pray for this man's theology now. He's singing Lean on Me while he's preaching. The words of the song are very familiar. This song, as I said, I think it's a good message. Somebody described this song as the most Christian non-Christian, because it's not a Christian song, let's be clear. Someone said it's the most Christian non-Christian song. Because it talks about the idea of leaning on one another. It talks about the idea of supporting one another, of being there for one another. This song supports the ideal of being gracious to one another. So what exactly is grace? Because if we look at our text today, Paul writes about grace. And in fact, he goes on and on quite a lot about grace. Why? Grace is an important aspect of Christian belief. And just to give you an indication of how serious it is, Paul, we know that Paul wrote a significant chunk. There was a time theologians worked out that Apostle Paul wrote all the New Testament, three quarters of the New Testament, 2/3 of the New Testament. It doesn't matter what your number is. He wrote a significant proportion of the New Testament. And over 100 times in his letters, he talks about God's grace. He writes 13 letters to the various churches, to the various cities. And if you look at every single one of Paul's letters, there's a theme at the beginning and at the end. And that theme is God's grace. God's grace. The grace of God. You might know this, so if you do, let me remind you. And if you don't, let me tell you. Grace is a gift. And a gift is not something you give to somebody because they earned it. If they earned it, it's a salary. It's a wage. A gift is someone you give because you care. It's something you give to show your love. Understanding the grace of God is critical to us experiencing the abundant life that Jesus planned for us. When you think about songs, songs that talk about grace, songs that talk about God's grace, our worship songs that talk about grace, a lot of them, majority of them talk about this. It's almost like we're unworthy to receive God's grace. This year, 2023, January this year, was the 250th anniversary of the hymn Amazing Grace. And grace has featured extensively through a lot of the songs that we sing in church. There's a songwriter called Dottie Rambo who wrote the song, Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. You know it? You know the song? You know the hymn? Yeah? Shall always be my song of praise. It opens, that line opens it. And then it goes on to say, for it was grace that bought my... Where are the worshipers in this place? Yes? I mean, Babs is gone. She's gone in the spirit. You're like, I'll never know. Woo! She's about to start speaking in tongues and doing the cartwheels down the middle of the aisle. Okay, no, I'm kidding. For it was grace that bought my liberty. Grace. I mean, just let that sink in. Just that line. It was grace that bought my liberty. Grace paid for my freedom. Grace released her from bondage. Grace made her free. The song continues, I'll never know just how he came to love me so. You know what comes next, right? You know what comes next. This is the confirmation of these three lines. It says, he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Ooh. No, we're not going to go, I shall forever. No, not today. Such a wonderful statement. And it covers and captures, I didn't do that, covers and captures what grace is. This illustrates that grace is sufficient. This illustrates that grace is enough. Now, where am I going with this? We need to know, we need to see that it is critical, it's crucial for us to appreciate grace. Don't take grace for granted. Don't take grace for granted. It's critical that we recognize that we're not merely simply custodians of God's grace. We're meant to be conduits of God's grace. He doesn't just bless us for us. He blesses us so we can be a blessing unto somebody else. It is our responsibility to let everyone know that, yes, one time we were under the law, now we're under grace. You can be too. You can participate. You can benefit. Because of our sin nature, nothing that we ever do, can stand before God. Nothing we do, simply in ourselves or of ourselves, can make the grade. Nothing can. Actually, through sin, every single one of us faces condemnation. But thanks be to God for the gift of grace that's given to each of us through the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, here's the thing about gifts. Remember I said grace is a gift. A gift must be gratefully received. It's one thing somebody's giving you a gift. You don't just say, oh, thanks, fling it. You have to gratefully receive it. It doesn't matter. Has anybody here ever been given a gift by a child? Hands up. Or a child has said, oh, here, you can have this. Okay. Every time a child gives... Okay, let me ask it this way. No, I'll just say it. Have you ever experienced it sometimes where a child, I mean a really, really young child, is giving you a gift and you're like, Have you ever been there? My youngest brother, I think he was about three, walked in. We were by the kitchen one day. He walked in and he had an earthworm in his hand and he was bringing it as a gift. Obviously, everybody ran. You know, I was going to take that. They're trying to wonder, how did he pick up an earthworm in the first place? Sometimes a child wants to give you their half-eaten biscuit. Sometimes they, you know, and what do? You don't just say, go away. You'd be like, thank you. Oh, parents, come on. You know what I'm saying. Mommy, do you want some? Daddy, do you want some? We've been there. You know, the gift of God isn't like those kinds of gifts. The gift of grace isn't like those uncomfortable socks that we receive at Christmas. The gift of grace isn't like that. The gift of grace isn't like that funky drink that people bring to the house and say, here you go, Merry Christmas. And you're thinking, what is this? I'll never drink that. And then you're thinking who to give it to. We know. Just keep look straight at me and smile like it's not you I'm talking to. The gift of God, this gift of grace doesn't come wrapped up with tinsel and bows. But even though it doesn't, I guarantee you that the gift of grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough. In the Old Testament, we read about grace. The Bible, when the Bible talks about grace in the Old Testament, it's referred to like as favor. Favor. So to illustrate, in Genesis 6:8, God says to Noah, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is favor. In the Old Testament, the word grace is used to point out God's kindness, God's graciousness. I don't think grace is something we can ever fully understand. And sometimes people get it mixed up. Grace and mercy. Mercy and grace. Which is which? What's mercy? What's grace? How are they related? How are they similar? So let me just bring a tiny little sort of an explanation, sort of a difference. Mercy is when God withholds his hand so you don't get the judgment you deserve. Grace is when God extends his hand to give you the favor you don't deserve. Shall I say that again? Mercy is when God withholds his hand to prevent you receiving the judgment that you should have had, that you deserve. And grace is when he extends his hand to give you favor that you don't deserve. The two are directly linked because we receive grace through salvation. We receive grace through salvation because God's love for us is unending. It's unending. And because of his love, he sent Jesus to do a work so that we can receive mercy for the judgment that we deserved. Yeah. So without God, we cannot experience true grace. And that's a fact. We receive grace, we see grace, we experience it in other ways in our lives. But I'm sorry, excuse my language, that's cheap grace. That's cheap grace. It's low-grade grace. It's lower quality grace. It's human grace. God's actual grace is designed to withstand heavy. It's heavy-duty grace. God's grace is heavy-duty grace. It's designed to withstand the pressures of daily life. And as well as the pressures of those things that happen. The pressure of heartbreak, bereavement, loss. No other form of assistance can do it as effectively. And they will all, if we hold on to them alone, they will all eventually lead to heartbreak. In life, sometimes we have difficulty understanding the unfairness that we experience. You know, and it's true. It's not fair that some people are hungry. It's not fair. It's not fair that some people are homeless, that some people are unemployed, are looking for work and cannot find a decent job to pay their wages, to live. It's not fair that some people are displaced by war. It's not fair that there is suffering. It's not fair. But I have to say, is it fair that God would send his only son to die for a sinner, like a wretch like me? Is that fair? That's also not fair. And that's where grace enters the equation. God's grace is not dependent on how we look, how we feel, our jobs, our qualifications, or the titles we have, the designation we put after our name on a business card. God's grace is not concerned with all of that. God's grace isn't concerned whether you're Baptist, Anglican, Presbyterian, or Pentecostal. God's grace isn't concerned with that. His grace is not merited by how good we imagine we are, how great we fantasize we think we are, when we start believing our own hype. God's grace is not dependent on that. His grace cannot be negotiated. His grace cannot be returned. His grace cannot be compromised. God's grace is an absolute thing. It's not given with strings attached. It's not transactional. The transaction's been done. Jesus has done it. You just come and get it. It's been paid for. God's grace is a gift. It's a gracious gift, and it's given from a place of love. Somebody needs to understand this today. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough, saints. Amen? No matter what we do, how many times we stumble, how many times we trip up, mess up, how many times we fall down, how many times we get off track, God's grace has a relentless, undying, unfathomable, unquenchable, immutable love, immutable characteristic, from which we can never be separated. God's grace is sufficient, saints. God's grace is enough. I say it again. Now you might be listening and wondering, okay, what do I do? What do I do to get this grace? Is it something I work to get? Is it something I attain in order to be saved? Does it come from, maybe if I treat people right, I will get God's grace? Or maybe if I love my neighbor, I'll receive God's grace? Is it based on actions? Is it based on perfection? Is it based on imperfection? Is it based on what? How do I get God's grace? Saints, no. It's not based on what. It actually works the other way around. It actually works the other way around. The grace of God means we serve God. Yeah? Because we are saved. Not that we serve God so we can be saved. The grace of God means we love our neighbors because we are saved, not so that we can be saved. It doesn't work like that. The grace of God is our source of power when problems are perplexing us. Grace is the spring of our endurance when trials try to trip us up and knock us down. Grace is the element of hope when we feel hopeless and helpless. That's where grace kicks in. Grace is the strengthener of our faith when we're frustrated. Grace allows us to hold on when it feels so much easier to give up and quit and stop. Grace allows us to calm down during times of anxiety and uncertainty. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Grace isn't some magic eraser, some blue pill, some quick answer. No, it is not. If you're thinking this way, please stop it. Grace is not going to wash away the situation you're facing. Grace is not going to, vanish our troubles away. It's not going to allow us to think our troubles away. Some of us, we think and think and think and think and think and think and think, enter into a place of paralysis by analysis. Grace isn't going to stop the trouble. Grace isn't going to do that. Grace doesn't even rescue us from the trouble. It doesn't rescue us. Saints, I'm sorry. Grace doesn't stop the pain. No, it doesn't. I mean, you know, the healing hand of God or paracetamol. Yeah? God can use paracetamol, ibuprofen. He does. He uses medical people. They can help with your pain. Grace doesn't stop the pain, saints. Grace doesn't erase the difficulties. The daily irritation, the pressures will still happen. But here is the thing about grace. Grace will permit us to settle down when stuff is tough. When trying times come, grace will enable you to stand strong and stand tall. Grace secures us enough not to worry about what is going to come tomorrow, because we remember the greatness of God, the goodness of Jesus Christ, and how he brought us out the last time. Grace helps us to remember what God did back then so that we can hold on to it for now. Grace causes us to face what we're facing and still say, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Grace enables you, no matter what you're going through right now, even through tears, you say, all my life you have been faithful. That's what grace enables you to do. And that's the amazing assurance we have. Grace isn't dependent on what you do. It's not because you were obedient. It's not because you tithed. It's not because you show up in church. You attended church every Sunday. The grace of God is given to us because God loves us. The only condition for grace is God's love. It's a gift. When I buy someone a birthday present, I don't negotiate with them. I want to get you a present. Somebody bought me a present for my birthday, a whole bunch of personalized stuff. It brought tears to my eyes. I've never received anything like that in my life. I was just like, wow, what is this? Who am I, Lord, that they are mindful of me? And they didn't ask me. It came from a place of love. Grace doesn't, you don't receive grace because you attended church. No. The grace of God is given because he loves you. And he's the God of another chance. Yes, said it. He's the God of another. Let me be clear on something. I did not say the God of a second chance. Well, some people say he's a God of a God of a second chance. Well, praise God for them. Second chance? I burned up my second chance long ago, mate. I don't know about you sitting there looking at me all holy like you never had more than two chances. I had a whole bunch of second chances. You could put my second chances in another box. You know, I lost count of my second chances. And he still gives me a chance. He still gives me another chance. He hasn't quit on me. He hasn't turned his back on me. There's no limit to his love or his mercy. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough. Saints, God's grace is not only for those dark and dodgy times of life. And sometimes that's what we do when we're going through challenge, when we're going through difficulty. Oh, Lord, I'm leaning on your grace now. Amazing grace, I say. Because you need saving. We make the mistake of only recognizing God's love when we're in a place of challenge, when we're in the valley of the shadow of death. His grace is there for times of difficulty. Yes, it is. Yes. But if that's the only time we recognize his grace, we're not being grateful, people. God's grace is always available. That means it's available during your time of peace. God's grace is available during your time of joy and happiness. God's grace is available when you're laughing and you're smiling and you gaze upon the face of your child with gratitude. God's grace is available when you get home after a long week and you say, Lord, I give you praise that I'm still standing. His grace is always there. When you have no worries and everything is going well, everything's aligned for you, God's grace is still there, pouring into your life so that your cup will overflow, so that when the next trial shows up, you are secure enough to say, God's grace is sufficient, God's grace is enough. The God we serve is a God of grace. He doesn't only save us from eternal death, he puts his life inside us. And that's why Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Saints, PHBC family, God's grace changes things. God's grace moves the focus from our failure to our fulfillment. God saves us, in fact, from our failures. Let me tell you, God's grace saves us from our sinful nature. God's grace brings us from polluted to purified. God's grace gives us a sense of presence, a sense of peace, a sense of stillness. God's grace allows us to bear the unbearable. When your heart is overwhelmed, when your heart is shattered, and you're still showing up in church, I know people and I can see your faces who are still believing God 10 years on, and you're saying, God, how long? And your prayer hasn't fully manifested yet. You're still here worshiping God. That's his grace in action. Not sitting in your house moping and wondering and grumbling about God. That's his grace in action. God's grace affects your speech, it affects your mind, it equips you in all areas. God's grace sustains you to the end, it removes your guilt, it removes your shame. God's grace is more than a prayer that you say at mealtime. Let's say grace. God's grace is more than that. His grace is beyond our ability to earn, our ability to repay. Acts 15:11 tells us that we're saved because of grace. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 tells us we're justified by God's grace. Ephesians 2, chapter, verse 5 tells us we're restored by grace. 2 Corinthians 1:12 tells us we live in abundance because of God's grace. Titus 2:12 tells us we come into God's presence because of grace. And 2 Peter 3:10 says the grace calls us into God's eternal glory. Saints, I'll say it again. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough. God's grace was provided to us when he sent Jesus. God's grace was completed when Jesus prayed at Gethsemane. God's grace was affirmed when Jesus stood in front of Pontius Pilate. God's grace was secured when he carried his cross up to Calvary. God's grace was obtained when they nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross. God's grace was ascertained when Jesus asked for our forgiveness. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Lord. God's grace was proven when they laid God's only begotten son in the tomb. Now check this out. As you know, the story doesn't end there. That's not where grace ended. The report doesn't conclude with Jesus' death. There's more to this grace thing that gives us an absolute guarantee. For every Good Friday you're going through, for every Good Friday in your life right now, there's an Easter Sunday coming. Amen. You just need to hold on. It's just 3 days. God's grace is constant. God's grace is an absolute guarantee. God's grace is continuous. We didn't merit it. But as it was assured, secured, it was ascertained, it was maintained by Jesus who came that we might have life and have it in abundance. Jesus said, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? God's grace is more than sufficient to wipe away our transgressions and our sins. His grace is enough to remove the bad thoughts, bad speech, bad choices, bad habits in our lives. God's grace can eliminate that feeling of self-loathing where you don't love yourself as you should. God's grace can eliminate, minimize your feelings of doubt and disbelief, can eradicate a sense of hopelessness and despair. God's grace is sufficient, saints. God's grace is enough. Since the beginning of time, God has continued to offer chances to everybody who has failed, from the Garden of Eden to till today. His grace allows you an opportunity. My wife works in higher education. She works in a university. Let me say it this way. God's grace allows you to resit all of your modules and all of your exams, to do them 2 years, 3 years later, and graduate with first class honors. That's what God's grace does. He looks at, and he views our success not by human achievement, not by human standards. He views our success by the way we conform to the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses our failure sometimes to prepare us for success. That's what grace does. Some of us are so afraid of failure. We're so afraid of pain. You're in the place of grace, saints. That's the thing about his grace. It's more than enough. You show me someone that's always grumbling, moaning, complaining about things. Someone who's unhappy, always rejecting any attempt. You know some people, you come up to them, you say, cheer up. They say, why? Brother, I'm so sorry. Stay in your gloom. I'm going to just take my gladness somewhere else. Some people are like that. They reject any opportunity to cheer them up, any opportunity for positivity. You show me somebody like that, and I will show you someone who has not come into the recognition of God's grace. You show me someone whose speech does not reflect the word of God, but reflects the ways of the world, talking about luck and karma and all this other junk that is acceptable in the world. The world says it's okay. And we go, actually, if the world says it's okay, it must be okay. Who cares what God has done? Who cares what God says? Who cares what God tells me to do? After all, you know, it's a habit. I've done it all my life. Go tell that to Jesus, who paid, who didn't hold anything back for you. You show me someone who does that, and I will show you someone who has not come into the recognition of God's grace. You show me someone who outright refuses to believe that they are more than their past, who outright refuses to believe that they're more than their present situation. They are more than people say they are. You show me someone who refuses to believe that, and I will show you someone who has not come into the recognition of God's grace. Show me someone whose only goal in life is to gather, to gain, to attain, to acquire possessions, to acquire position, to acquire power. You show me somebody like that who is not interested in securing their heavenly eternal relationship with Christ, and I will show you someone who has not come into the recognition of God's grace. You show me someone who rejects anything I have preached over the last 4 weeks, including today. Someone who is not aligned with what God is doing in us, with us, for us. Who is not submitted, who is not humble, who is not aligned with the word of God. And I will show you someone who has not come into the recognition of God's grace. Saints of God, enough is enough. When you ground the things that are said, what is said, when you ground who you are, when you ground what you have, when you ground what you do on your own strength, you end up in a place where you're never going to be satisfied, where you'll never be content, where you will never have enough. Earlier, I talked about the song Lean On Me, and I talked about, you know, the meaning of that song. You see, the message of Lean On Me is that helping others in their time of need is not just about being selfless. When you help, the song is saying, if I'm going to help you, then you must help me back. If I scratch your back, you? That's what Lean On Me is saying. You see, in this song, he says, call on me when you need a hand. It won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. In this song, the songwriter is not just saying, I'm here for you. He's saying, I want you to remember what I'm going to do for you, because one day I'm going to need to withdraw from my funds. You just hold on to the, you know, you ask somebody, you say, oh, I just want to be a blessing to you. You know, God's told me, Vanessa, that I must give you 10 grand. Yeah, so see me after church. I'll write you a check for 10 grand. And then 2 weeks later, I come up to Vanessa and say, Vanessa, I'm a little bit broke. Can you lend me some money? I need 10 grand. What's that about? That's what this, till I'm going to need somebody to lean on. That's the message of this song. And as pleasing as it may be to hear the mutuality, you know, scratch my back, I scratch yours, in this message, that's the difference between us and Jesus. Jesus gives us love. He gives us assistance. He gives us his presence, his power. He gives us his grace, and we owe him absolutely nothing. Jack, zilch, squat. We don't owe him a thing, and he gives it freely. If Jesus had written the lyrics for this chorus, I think, so I'm writing on behalf of Jesus now, I think he would have said, lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, and no matter how long, I'll always be somebody to lean on. It's not that I want you to lean on me so that one day I'm going to lean on you. Jesus said, lean on me. Come again and lean on me. Come again and lean on me. Come again and lean on me. That's God's grace. After all, as he said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, my grace is enough. This is from the message. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Saints, he says the same to us today. He says the same to you today. And when you can acknowledge this, when you can accept this message, when you can apply this to every aspect of your life, you will find that his grace is enough. And as soon as you find that his grace is enough, you will have enough. And by his grace, once and for all, enough will actually be enough.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.